My childhood pastor growing up was one of the most loving persons I've ever met. He loved to love people, and he loved them in tangible, physical ways. He loved hugs. So every man, woman, and child in my parish got a hug from Father Bill. My great-grandma, when he first came, she tried to resist it at first. She said, I'm not going to let him hug on me. But he quickly won her over because it was just obvious how much he loved people and how he wanted to express it in this way. Even when you'd been with him and he had given you a hug, you smelled like him for the rest of the day. You took on his aftershave. It was just a great aroma of, oh, I've been loved by Father Bill today. And for many of us, this is the way we enjoy giving love or receiving love, through physical touch, through hugs, through affection. I understand it's not everyone's primary love language. Maybe it's, you love receiving words of affirmation or acts of service, or different ways of love, but for a lot of us, it's physical touch. I have to admit, with my family and with my close friends, I hunger for that physicality of love, giving a hug, expressing it. That's how I grew up, not just with my parish priest, but with my family and my close friends. Whether this is your primary way of receiving or giving love, each of us, I think, has a hunger for this physicality. Even you look at the example of infants who are in the neonatal ICU, those who are struggling for their lives. The ones who do best in their recovery are the ones who are held. And they've done studies about this, that it's the physical touch. It's actually being held that leads to their ultimate healing. It contributes to it in some way, mysteriously. And we ought to recognize this as human beings. We're body and soul. And so hugs and physical affection are good things for us. Now, I recognized early on in the COVID restrictions and the pandemic that started to wear on me, that we were being told, don't touch people, don't hug, be careful, it's risky business. And I started to feel the effects of that, of how there was something missing for me. Maybe you felt it too. Because as I said, we're each hardwired in some way for that physical love. It's not just infectious diseases, however, that keep us from physical love and from hugging. There's another thing that can keep us from that, and I think it's even more dangerous than an infectious disease. It's when we're hugging or holding on to something else, and something that's actually destroying me, something that's not giving me comfort and love and affection that I crave, but something that is adding to my demise. We hear this in our readings today, starting with the book of Sirach. We hear the word hug. We hear the word nourish. We hear the word cherish. Good words, we would think, but the sinner is hugging and nourishing and cherishing things that are killing him. We hear wrath and anger are hateful things, yet the sinner hugs them tight. He nourishes anger against another. He cherishes wrath. We're meant to hug, we're meant to nourish, we're meant to cherish, but we're meant to hold on to those things that are bringing us life, not the things that are going to bring us death. But the sinner and the man who cannot forgive his neighbor, cherishes and nourishes and hugs these things that are ultimately killing him. And that's a great warning, I think, for us. That's what unforgiveness does in my heart. It brings my own death. It's like hugging on to an anchor that's sinking to the bottom of the ocean. That's what it feels like when I have unforgiveness in my heart. Or it's like drinking a poison, hoping the other person dies. It's only hurting me. And this is what harboring resentment and anger and wrath in our hearts does. Maybe we're justified in it, but we hold on to that justice in a way that's actually killing us. And Jesus' dialogue today with Peter, then, I think, is our way out. It's the way forward. It's the way to life. Peter asks, how many times do I have to forgive my brother if he sins against me? 7 times? No, Jesus says, I say to you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Peter, you have to keep letting it go. You have to keep casting this off of yourself, because ultimately it will kill you if you harbor this unforgiveness. Now, I have to admit, forgiveness is hard business, especially if we've been wounded and harmed in really deep ways. Forgiveness, though, isn't just an excuse of what has happened. It doesn't excuse it. It doesn't wipe it away. It doesn't say it was okay. It also doesn't say that was nothing. You know, we can say that sometimes when someone says, I'm sorry, or will you forgive me? We can excuse it and say, it was nothing. That's not true forgiveness. True forgiveness is admitting, yeah, that was hard. That was something. But I'm going to release you of it. And I'm going to release myself of it too. Because if I hold on to it, it's going to kill me. If I hold on to it, it's not going to make me feel loved. It's not going to make me feel comforted. It's going to be my ultimate demise. And reconciliation and forgiveness have to be understood as two different things as well. I can forgive someone and maybe never even see them again. Maybe they're even dead and I'll only see them perhaps in heaven. I can still forgive that person. I can still be released of that burden. Reconciliation would be, you know, doing the hard work of trying to work out the details of that friendship or relationship, to try to heal what was wounded between the two of you. But forgiveness can be done in my heart in a way that releases the other person and releases myself, maybe they never even know it. And when I've been hurt in very difficult ways, reconciliation may not be possible or possible for a very long time. But I can begin the work of forgiveness today, to bring that person in my heart, even to the Mass today, put them on the altar, say, Lord, it's hard for me to forgive this thing that's happened. It's hard for me to release this person who has offended me. But I put them there today, and I ask you to work out the details. Lord, I will heaven for them. That's all I can do right now. And so I put them there on the altar. I ask you in your loving mercy to hug them, to surround them with your peace, and to hug me as well, that I might receive that love and peace too. St. Paul VI was the Holy Father in the 60s through the Second Vatican Council and the years that would follow it. And during the council, he gave an address to the United Nations. I want to give you his words today. He said, if you wish to be brothers, let the arms fall from your hands. One cannot love while holding offensive arms. Now, St. Paul VI was talking about weapons and nuclear arms, but I think it's interesting the words that he used, that I can't love someone with offensive arms. I can't let someone in for a hug if I'm holding on to something else that's killing me. And so today, brothers and sisters, let us let down those arms. Let us let the Lord hug us and love us, that we would have that charity for others in return.